Okay, so Smalling's sermon is on standing on the word. And I was kind of looking at this and it kind of pretty much came to me, to be honest. And you could probably do a month's worth talking just on the word, but I've narrowed it down to 3 hours, so we should be alright. Right, so we look at 1 John 1 to 14. Okay. So it's the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made. The world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the light to become become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, I thought I'd open that passage. It's quite interesting if you... 1 John 1 to 14. John 1 to 14, sorry. John 1 to 14. Did I do it wrong from the start? No wonder you were looking confused and looking through the Bible.
Because it's really close.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Have you pressed record, by the way, on the thing?
Yes. That's all right.
Oh, okay. So, I kind of thought about that passage, and I thought if you actually change it over, in the beginning was Jesus. And I think sometimes if you switch the word and put Jesus in the place, it kind of makes it a bit more makes more sense. Jesus is like the missing piece that makes sense in the whole Bible. I know you're all thinking of the apartment right now, but try not to. Yeah. So when I was at college, there was often a discussion about streams. Are you in the word stream or are you in the spirit stream? And what if the spirit stream and the word stream came together? What would happen? And I had kind of visions of Ghostbusters and crossing the lines, but I don't know. So you would hear conversations in dark corridors of Christians saying, which side do you lean on more? Do you lean more on the spirit side? Or do you lean more on the word? So, I think if you change that over and you think about the question is, are you from the Jesus stream or are you from the Holy Spirit stream?
Yes.
It's nonsense. You don't get one without the other.
Yeah.
Now, how it affects the question, because I've done it, I think we've probably all done it at some point, we lean more to the spirit stream, but it's actually quite offensive. As Christians, we are in the world as representatives of heaven on earth. We need to consider that the Word is not just the Bible, it is Christ. He is the Word. At a conference, the prophetic conference, I heard several times people said the prophetic word demands a response. So does our relationship with God. If we have a relationship, we need to respond to that in an appropriate way. The Word is a supernatural relationship between this book and the Word himself, Jesus. Jesus is not dead, he is alive and kicking. Without him, this book would just be a book. The Word is living and active, not just a dry, dusty book. It's not a life choice or a social club. It's a relationship with the creator of the universe. In fact, it is a marriage made in heaven. So, I don't know about you, but I think whenever you talk about things like when you talk about fire in your house, you always think, what's the first thing I'm going to take out? Back in the day, you could take the photo albums, but these days it's all uploaded, so you don't have to worry about that. But, yeah. The photo albums think they represent things of the past, the conversations and the memories fade, and we often remember things that didn't even happen. But to be in the moment, but to be in the moment at that time was special. To be in the moment with Jesus gives us the context of what lies before us. We are part of the story, and this is our testimony. We are carriers of the word of Jesus. Are we infectious, or do we self-isolate? So, Right, characteristics of the word. When back in the day we used to have the Gideons come round to our school and they'd give out a Bible, little tiny red Bibles. And to be honest, a lot of the children in our school, in our secondary school, when they came, threw most of the Bible into the Bibles into the lake, which is down the road from our school. So you see them strewn all over the place. But they used to give you like hints of where you could look up things at the front, which we'll cover in a minute. So, but that's like a rejection of the word. But the Bible tells us that the validity of the word basically explores us. I'm going to give you some Bible references. I don't want you to look them up because it'll take too long. But I'll just give you the references anyway. So the Bible is flawless. The word is flawless. That's in Psalm 18:30. The word is right and true, which is Psalm 33:4. These are just a few of the ones I could have chosen. The word is your guide. You are a lamp to my feet. Psalm 119:105. When we drive on the car, I got lost in London one time, but I didn't have sat nav, and I got lost about 7 hours. But we did have a sat nav for a while for my parents. And it was an old sat nav, and we'd never updated them, updated it, nor did we. And we'd go to my parents in Over in Cambridge, and you'd go through, the sat nav would tell you you're driving through a field. And you'd see like arrow going through the middle of a field because they haven't got the road on the map because it's already there. And it's like this: if we use our Bible, we can reference things with our Bible, we can check things through our Bible. But if it's not up to date, we're not going to have an impact. We need up to date information, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So that's Word and Spirit working together. Next characteristic: do what it says. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, do what it says. James 1:22. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. I've got holiness and pure. Humbly accept the word planted in you. James 1:21. Longevity. The word endures forever. Isaiah 40:8. The word will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. Then we have attitude. This is a good one for me, actually. Not grumbling and complaining. Philippians 2:14-16. Certainly, sometimes it's quite difficult. We did the regatta, and Sharon said, can you do prophetic words for people? And it wasn't something I'd done before. And so you kind of put in the deep end. So you kind of mumble and grumble, and you're like, oh, I can't do this. And you kind of like go through that sort of period. And then we did like the Joy Cafe in Boston. And I was like, no, and the next time we came, both Mary and I decided we weren't going to grumble. We just gonna do it, get on with it, instead of complaining. So we mustn't grumble and complain. And also, we have the word to live by. And that's Matthew 4:4. And lastly, I'll put power. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's John 15:7. So these are all the things you can get from the word. Okay? So my next section is power of the word. I hope I won't end up like that. I can't be powerful up here, but I'm hoping not that much. The power of the word. How few words in a season transforms lives. For instance, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. Maybe your sins are forgiven. Let my people go. I will make you into a great nation. These are all words of encouragement. Just a few words have power in the right time, in the right season. Jesus reveals himself to that person. I see when we get a word for somebody, he says, I see you, I know you, I care for you. And how then can we stand being static when we stand on the word? Because just that word in season means everything, doesn't it? I don't know if you've had prophetic words given to you, just like the one word, it can be literally one word, it can make all the difference. This is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Don't need to look this up. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. When we become Christians, we are given great power through our words. It says in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's great power in the word, because the word is living and active. The word is Christ, and Christ is with us. So we should consider what we say with our mouths. Words have the power to bind and loose. Words are powerful, and when we speak Christ's words, they have power to change lives. It is a great responsibility. However, apart from the potential negatives of saying the wrong thing the wrong time, there is the words that we should say in season. So sometimes we can say the wrong thing. We can worry about saying the wrong thing and never do anything. Never say anything to anybody. But we should use the right words in the right season. There are words that bring freedom. But we remain silent and we don't listen to the prompt. Are worried to offend or too nervous to risk making ourselves foolish. This means the person has missed the opportunity to meet Jesus. Standing on the word requires us living in it. It is Christ in us. Right, I don't know if you want to look this one up. Colossians 25:27, you can do it, it's quite long. It's not one Colossians, it's Colossians 25. I have become its servant by the commission of God, God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, I'm at one of the projects I go to with my client. It wasn't my client in the situation. There was a guy there, I think he has cerebral palsy, and he was on the ground weeding the soil. And he announced to everybody that, yeah, I'm a weed. That's what he said, I'm a weed. And I said, no, you're not a weed, you're a warrior. And you could see the impact that word had on him. Somebody else went, yeah. And it was just really amazing. All the things he's probably gone through, all the pain and the suffering, operations, people's negative comments, that sounds to me like a warrior. And that's a word in season. So that, now I have something to build on with that person when I go back. In fact, I talked to him this week briefly, but not that God, but I just kind of touched base with him. Because that's a word, in season. It's one word difference. Weed to warrior. Weed to warrior. So, where does the power come through the Holy Spirit? John 7:38 says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I kind of do a lot of social media. I do a lot of Facebook. It's a bad thing because I do too much of it. And confession is going, I do look at Instagram sometimes. But I don't know if you've noticed that we see a lot of like mottos and things put on with pictures, and we see songs and gifts. Is that right? How you pronounce it? Gifts. Yeah. On Facebook, Instagram, where the words, basically, the words that can encourage and lift up, but they are only short-lived. They're just words, unless they're scripture, of course. Without the gospel, they are temporary. They will not bring comfort to the lost when they pass from life to death and judgment. So it's good to encourage, it's good to build people up, but without the word being brought to them, then it's only short-lived, it's only temporary. We are carriers of the word. Are we infectious? So, right. So, how do we share the word? It's all about relationship. I can read about Jesus, about Father God, and if I'm not in a relationship, it will show. The fruit should be evident in my actions and my language, and it should be fresh fruit. The trouble is, if we just take the Spirit out of the Bible, then that's all it is, old fruit. It might have an impact, but the same, you need that as well. It's kind of like when I was younger, I went out with my sister for walking the dog. I wasn't that old, and my mate used to swear a lot, and I accidentally swore with my sister when I was out with the dog, and she kindly said to me that if you do that again, I'll tell mum and dad. So if you, what you do in private and what you do in public and the way and what you're watching and what you're doing will actually come out in your language, it will come out in your body language as well. Without, so our attitude and our language reveal themselves and betray us. If they come from wrong motives, self-centered thinking and selfish ambition, that will show. Without relationship with Jesus, it's all about you, but it should be all about him. You live in the illusion of being free, standing on the word, but in fact you're just standing. For example, you could look at the Salvation Army. I was thinking about Salvation Army because they're a great organisation. But they have like two, they're one essential message, but they have two ways in which they communicate. Are they just a brass band playing and helping the homeless with charity? Or is there more to them? There is more to them, clearly. Because they also have the Christian message. But you can't assume that people will just get the message from what you do and how you help other people. That's not the message in itself. At some point somebody has to give the message, which Salvation Army are very good at doing. But we can get lost sometimes in our social activism and miss out on actually sharing what the word is. So how do we share the love and the message? That's the crux of the matter. Here are my thoughts after studying this subject. I've come to this from a position of weakness. And here are my 5 points. Number one, spend time with the Lord in the quiet place. Okay, number two, spend time with the Lord in the quiet place. Number three, spend time with the Lord in the quiet place. Number four, spend time with the Lord, be a carrier, share with others about him. Number five, ask him what you should do. Do it and love people. So, how many of those things do I do? Not enough. So, I think it's a question of sometimes turning things off and spending that time going to a quiet place if you can find one. Not always easy. We had some Korean friends, and they were renting accommodation. They went to Moreland's when we went to. And they craved quiet space. They wanted quiet space because they were living with somebody else. They didn't get it. In fact, we went on holiday, and I think the guy spent all his time praying, which throws up the wall because he left his wife behind, and we came on holiday with you. But anyway, he was probably right, we were probably wrong. So any serious relationship takes time to develop. So, that's the next part. We're almost near the end. So, you learn to listen. So when you're in a relationship, you learn to listen and know their voice. You share everything together, you comfort each other, you start to communicate without saying anything, you even complete each other's sentences, that's the word. So that should be like that with us with God. You know, it's about fostering that relationship. When I was going to Mary, I travelled all the way from Bear Cross to Southbourne. And then I'd go back at midnight and drive back. I even travelled to Northern Ireland at one point. I did. And it was snowing, so that was fun. I was going on the airport. So, the things we do for love, and that's what we're talking about, loving relationship with God. So,
next.
Training in the Word. So, I don't know if you remember this one. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, go. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. Don't read the Bible, forget to pay. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. But I thought that was enough of the message, there you go. Just singing there.
Could you do that again? Put it on the line.
So, there's a message in there. And I thought that song came to me. And I thought, yeah, got to do that. Got to do that. I don't know how many people remember that song, but it's quite an old one. But I was thinking about training, and I was thinking about things like the turning. These are the things where you can go and stretch, and you have to hear God because you're in a sticky situation. You're talking to a stranger on the street. You're sharing the gospel. So you need that. You need that, and it stretches you. I think us doing the turning was a real stretch. I know some of you think, well, Andrew, you've got the gift of the gab. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with trusting God. It's difficult. But actually, as soon as you do it, they go, yeah, I would like to ask Jesus. No! You're kidding me! You can't get this part. Anyway, so that's one way. Prophetic school. Sharon and Andy setting up a prophetic school. So, if you can, when that happens, join it. It will stretch you. I remember the last time we did it, it was really difficult. Right, then you sit with somebody and say, well, I prophesied for this person. It's really... But then you're doing it in a safe environment. It's a really good place to learn and do it, because nobody's going to hold you to account, because you're actually trying, and you're actually trying to hear. Spending time with other believers, things like the furnace, things like that, coming to church obviously, but also just chilling out and having fish and chips and noisy lobster or whatever. It's hanging out with each other. I put down here the regatta, which I mentioned already. The Joy Cafe was another time when we actually got stretched. And the words that were given, and the clarification of the words that were given was mind-blowing. And people would go to Sharon and Andy's table with the pictures, and they'd come to me, I'd draw a picture, and it's the same picture as they'd been given, in the same word, and we weren't colluding, so it's just amazing. God obviously was. So, the last bit I put was stretch and get out of your own way. You know, you've got to get beyond yourself and think about Him. So that's standing on the Word. Yes, you've got to know your Word, you've got to know the Bible, but you've also got to know the author. Okay? Now, I've taken, well, it's not a risk. Underneath your chairs, in a minute, not yet, wait for it. You may find an envelope, you may not, because I was expecting 32 people to come and I only prepared 20, but there aren't 32, but that means some chairs might not have them underneath anyway. So if you've been underneath your chair, you may find an envelope. And it's got a prophetic word in it. And I hope it's right for you. You may check it. If you haven't got one, I don't think you've got one. If you haven't got one, I'm sorry. But you've not got one. You have got one. Some of them may have fallen out. And then inside there's a card. You can read my handwriting. It's got a prophetic word for each person. And I'm just trusting that the word's right. So you need to check with God later on. Check it now, yeah, look at it now. And Sharon's saying to me, if it's correct, is it missing? Is it missing? So if the word is correct, you want to come and share it at the front. If you feel I put the Bible references in, sorry I didn't have time to write them all down, but I've given you the reference. So if you want to come and share, feel free.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
You are growing, just be patient, the fruit will come. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Just feel like, I'm not even going to swear, then. I just feel like crying. Because, yeah, I'm trying to grow in my faith. I find it a bit of a battle. all the changes and I just kind of really felt that when I put that out. So thank you.
Cool. Come on. Thank you, Sharon.
Oops.
Okay, so Mike says, you have many negative labels put on you, some from others and some from yourself. It is time to do the opposite. They are fake news. Time to change old labels to positive alternatives. They will become keys to get you to new places.
That's quite a fun question about.
Yeah,
I know. Is it a good one? Oh, <whoa. laughs> no, madam. I'm good.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
All right.
Yes,
you can needle die. Thank you. So mine's from Isaiah 43:19, spring of water, and I drink spring water. No, it's that simple. It was just so easy to follow, that's what came to my mind. And then I was reminded of Alaric. Do you remember speaking up here about the living water?
Yeah.
So living water in a spring, and it's like when I speak to people about Jesus, that's what comes up. The water springs up and it comes into my mouth, and I'm able to share that. With other people, sometimes actually my mouth goes dry when I'm sharing about Jesus,
yeah,
because for some reason I get really, really nervous because I have to hold back my excitement and my passion about it. So with my ADHD, that's a great mixture. So it's a challenge, but yeah, it's spring of water. And when I read that, I felt it rising up. So
yeah.
You provoked a reaction.
Word, it's a word in the bottom, isn't it? Is that not part of
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's spring of water from Isaiah 43:19. And so that provoked a reaction within me, and I felt, and that was what came to my mind. Thank you.
That's the unicycle. It's just with the unicycle, it takes balance to stay on. You may feel like you've lost a wheel, but you feel fine. You realise that time has gone, but you feel secure. Psalm 119, 105, 107.
Cool.
I love a plane, but not as in a aeroplane. Just it's like I like things plain. You like things given to you straight. Truth is truth. It is when you fade away. The rough edge, when you take away the rough.
My handwriting's terrible.
When you fake away, that didn't even make sense. When you take away the rough edges, that you see the great trust you see the grain. Honesty is of the greatest, one of the greatest fruits we look for in others, but sometimes makes you too cautious. John 8:32, which is, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, yeah, good one. Thank you, Andrew.
My handwriting's terrible, so I would have typed it, but I don't have time.
So, I got Psalm 19, 7 to 8, and I got a picture of a sponge. And learn as much of the Bible as you can, seek the Lord, for I am a sponge for the Word. That's me, I'm like, soak it up, live it, eat it, drink it. And the scripture is Psalm 19, 7 to 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. I like the next bit. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. And for me, it's like when times have been hard, the Word with the Spirit, because the Spirit gives life to the Word. And the Word of God is like my go-to. It's like anything that happens, there's answers here. Sometimes there's seasons when the voice of the Lord seems far away, but the Word of the Lord is always here. The word of the Lord always speaks. So yeah, this is like me. I am a sponge for the Word. so very appropriate. Thank you.
Who's next?
Well, thank you for taking part. Yeah. That's very precious, because the thing is, I was doing it in faith to see what happened, so it's encouraging to me as well. And I'm here again, which is good. So, thank you this morning.
Yeah.
Great
thank
close.
You.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that we can come together as a family and come to this place, Lord. And we pray that as we go through the week, we'll stand in your word, and we know we hear your voice as we come into contact with other people. Lord, we pray that you give us the right words at the right time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.